This episode of TopCast is brought to you by UCF Online. 20-plus years of award-winning online excellence, over 75 online programs, one of the largest and most innovative universities in the U.S. ucf.edu/online.
From the University of Central Florida's Center for Distributed Learning, I'm Kelvin Thompson.
And I'm Tom Cavanaugh.
And you are listening to TopCast, the Teaching Online Podcast. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Kelvin.
What is up?
Not much. We got interesting weather out there today. I know we often talk about the weather, which is
it seems like that's become a thing.
A strange thing to do, considering these things air, you know,
Way out of that.
Yeah, sometimes out of sequence and not even close to the time when we actually recorded. But we've got like tornado warnings and it just looks so ominous out there.
It's true. So it is true.
Our TopCast may be punctuated with the occasional thunderclap.
Oh, let's hope not. Or lightning strike or
not that.
No, let's not have that. Let's not have that. There's something I was going to tell you, but I don't know what it was now. Oh, yeah. We're doing a show right here.
Oh, are we?
Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
You probably want to know what you're drinking in your coffee cup.
Yeah, let's just jump right to the coffee, shall we? Let's not just mess around. No dilly-dallying, lollygagging.
We got stuff to do here.
That's right.
As well, along with worrying about the weather.
The line from Bull Durham. You lollygagging from the infield. You lollygagging from the dugout. You know what that makes you?
A lollygagger?
Bunch of lollygaggers.
And there it is. It's been a long time since I saw that movie.
That movie's awesome.
I got you.
All right, so what is in my thermos?
It's coffee.
It's a good thing you caught me sipping.
One day I'm going to wear this coffee because you're going to spit take all over me.
Yeah, either that or I might have had a comment.
Either way. But today's coffee comes to us by way of our colleague and lead video producer, Aaron Jose, who brought home some coffee from a recent trip to Nashville.
That guy.
He travels. He brings coffee.
Aaron. Thank you, Aaron.
You know what this is? This is Road Rage.
Sounds like coffee. It's from Nashville.
It's a blend from Garage Coffee Company, which is a Nashville startup from an entrepreneur named Rob Camardo, who already set up a business making custom leather saddlebags for Harley-Davidson bikers. He calls it Garage Leather, so Garage Coffee Company.
Cool.
And this guy also trades equity stock. So drinking the output of an entrepreneurial leader's business venture seemed to me like a good choice for today's topic, since we're going to be talking about leadership today. Make sense?
Makes sense.
How's coffee?
It's really good.
Yeah. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron. Man, again, I will comment on this shtick you and now I have going.
I know. People said it's coffee.
We've actually got coffee
coming in.
Waiting to be drunk on a TopCast episode.
And if you have some coffee that you'd like to send us,
you too will get a shout out.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's
very much appreciated.
It is.
It really is. And we don't just, we're not the only ones who drink it. We will share.
Yeah, we share around. Yeah, that's right. Mostly us.
Mostly us. Yeah.
But we share some.
Yes.
It's true. So at any rate, on with the show. So Tom, you interviewed Dr. Eric Fredrickson, Associate VP of Online Learning and Associate Professor of Educational Leadership at the University of Rochester during the 2017 OLC Accelerate Conference.
I did.
Eric has been a respected leader in the field of online education for a long time. And as of this recording, he is recently the president of the OLC Board of Directors, the Online Learning Consortium Board of Directors. You spoke with Eric about a research project he's conducted related to online learning leadership.
I did, yeah. That was it was a really great conversation. Eric is a great guy, really smart and really engaged in this space.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about the interview before we cut to it?
Maybe the one thing I will say, and maybe keep this in mind as you're listening to it, I think this research that Eric has done is important. Mm-hmm. It's important for us in the field because you don't really, you can't really do additional research until you have some foundational stuff done. And, and I think a lot of the work that Eric's been doing is just super foundational that has real value that others could potentially, or he himself, as he continues this research agenda, could build upon.
Yeah.
So I'm really appreciative. And as you'll hear, this was a non-trivial amount of work personally invested in this.
Listen for that.
Yeah.
You would-be researchers who were thinking about doing something, you're like, Oh my, you did what now?
Yeah, it's amazing and it's awesome. And I think all of us in the online learning world should be grateful. So maybe with that as a setup, mm-hmm. through the magic of podcasting, we will go back in time now to the OLC Accelerate 2017 conference.
And we'll be back to wrap things up, so stick around.
So Eric, thank you for taking time to talk to us on TopCast.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Tom.
So we are here at the Online Learning Consortium Accelerate Conference, and congratulations are in order because you are the incoming board chair, correct?
Correct. I was elected to be the new president earlier this week, and it's a pleasure to serve. It's an organization I have cared about for 22 or 23 years now, so it means a lot to me, and so it's a real honor.
One of the things I did want to talk to you about is some research that you have done that is relevant to the OLC community about leadership and online learning. And you've published a study about trends and titles, and I wonder if maybe you could kind of just give us a quick summary and then we can kind of dive into some of it.
Sure, happy to. I have done now two studies, and so the one that's been... The journal article that was published references the first study, so I'll talk about that to begin with. And that was a study of online learning leadership at U.S. Universities and colleges in the summer of 16 and fall of 16 that I did. And I was able to take a look at the R1 institutions, R2, R3, M1, M2, and M3 institutions. And what I was able to do is go through and reach out to all of the leaders in those institutions. But you might be asking me, how did you do that?
Right.
And so my response to that would be, that was a bit of a hurdle. And also maybe even an explanation in my mind about why this kind of study has not been done before.
I think I filled it out originally.
And thank you for that.
You're welcome.
If you want to do a study of these individuals, what you really need to do in order to reach out to them is have the list of these people.
Right.
But guess what? That list actually doesn't exist. So if you want to do a study of presidents, you can get that list. Yeah. If you want to do a study of provosts or deans.
CIOs,
you can get that list. But this list doesn't exist. And so what that meant is that I had just so much fun going through the institutions I just referenced, those six Carnegie classifications. There was 1,088 of those institutions, and I actually reviewed the institutional websites of every one of those in order to seek out these individuals. Now, there is a challenge here in finding those in there. There are some of these that, and I'll probably get into this in a moment, some of these are new. And that was part of the findings of the study. If I back up for a second, and we would probably, everyone that might listen to this, as well as you, would probably agree that online education has been growing.
Yes.
In terms of just sheer numbers, mm-hmm. I would argue and suggest that it's also been growing in strategic importance. And with those two combined, I would even suggest that it has been growing in visibility to our boards of trustees, to our presidents, to our provosts and other executives. And so when I think about all that, it's probably not surprising that many presidents and provosts have actually decided to put someone at their institution on point.
But your research had to discern who that person was because there's no uniform title, right?
There's not exactly, no. There's not a specific title and, I think it probably was helpful to me after sort of working in this space for the last 23 years to have a sense of, well, it could be this or this or this, or it might fit in this part of the organization. And so that helped me go through those almost 1,100 institutional websites. And I would tell you that I'm very grateful to all those institutions that made that really easy. Because in some cases, it meant that I could identify that person. Well, in many cases, I knew who it was.
Right.
In many cases, I was able to find that in, maybe 5 minutes or something like that.
1,100 is a big number.
But I would tell you in some cases it took a little bit longer, and I would admit to being always a bit of an optimist, and I always felt like I'm only one more click away from uncovering who this individual is, and then I would do it again and again, and I'd be like, I'm going to get it the next time. But
well, we were chatting before we hit record, and you commented how it's difficult to assign a grad student or somebody without that history or institutional context to actually do that research because they just wouldn't know, right? That title is sort of the person that I'm looking for.
Yeah, and I like our grad students and our doc students way too much to give them that kind of job to do. And again, it probably would have only amplified how much time this was going to take. Yeah. But it did mean that it was quite a bit of an investment of time to go through and figure out who these people were. So out of the 1,100 in that first study, I was able to identify 820 individuals with contact information, titles, and all that kind of stuff in order to have the foundation and the ability to actually think about conducting the study.
So you now have the list that you were looking for when you started this.
I do have the list. Yeah. I do have the list. Again, this is in the context of the first study, which were the universities and colleges. Over this past summer, I actually had wanted to do our community colleges, our two-year schools. And so I have now done something similar to the two-year schools. There are 1,024 of those. Hmm. And I went through, same idea, all of those, and ended up identifying 752 individuals from that. So the combined, I've got more than 1,500 individuals identified, which is it's a good data set to have. In my opinion, I think it's a valuable data set for higher education to have because of such the important role that these individuals play in helping their institutions to support, guide, lead, this really important academic innovation.
So anything that you learned, any themes, commonalities? Is it like a certain title or a certain kind of person? I know you've done some looking at demographics and other kinds of things.
Sure. If we talk about, I would put the exploration in maybe a couple different chunks. I wanted to consider institutional information because that context I think is important and helps us think about this. I wanted to take a look at some information about the position itself, like where does it report to and how long has it been in place, those sorts of things. And then I also wanted to take a look at information relative to the individual themselves, and so some of the personal demographics or characteristics, and so that's the latter part that to respond to. And and ask me whatever questions about any of those chunks. In terms of if I thought about maybe I might start with the first one about institutional context.
Yeah,
I think for my mind it sort of goes sequentially like this, that I think it was important to capture certain information. One, the first thing I was really interested in is scope. So how did the individual, this leader in this institution, define when we say online learning? What did the institutions or the individuals mean by that? Mm-hmm. Historically, some might have interpreted that as, well, this is in this category of, complete online courses and distance education, and so that's what this was about at that institution and for this individual. But that's not exactly what I found. I mean, there were some institutions that responded with that, mm-hmm. but the vast majority of institutions defined the scope for this individual is all courses. Hmm. So the idea of, yes, it includes, complete online courses, it includes hybrid online courses, but it includes the notion about using online resources and tools and capabilities and activities to complement even face-to-face traditional classroom courses too. And this individual and the institution are seeing that was part of what this individual is helping with.
That's interesting. I remember when I was looking at at least the first report about colleges and universities that one question that stood out to me was about who they report to and how many report to provosts or presidents versus some other like senior VP or a CIO or somebody like that. Because I think that communicates something internally and externally about the value and strategic importance they place on this particular initiative. I don't know, any insights that came from who you report to?
I thought it was, I appreciate that, Tom, and I would agree with you, and it was a really important question that I was really interested in, which is whom do these people report to? What we found with the universities and colleges in that first study is the vast majority report directly to the provost.
Yep. I found
so
that
more than 50%,
actually.
And I think you're right to think that that might suggest certain meaning, along with thinking about, you know, the other sorts of options. So if it wasn't to the provost, and again, that was more than half of the people,
there was
sort of the next one was some other senior academic leader at the institution.
Right.
So you combine those, that's almost, you know, that is the lion's share of those options.
And that could be like a dean or somebody like
or
that.
Or like, it might be like a senior, you know, vice provost or something
right,
like that.
Right.
Some did go to the president, a few others, you know, but the one that I think also
something
stood
like
out to me was that
5% went to the president. That actually surprised me that there was
there,
that many.
Yeah, I think that was true. I think that one that to note is actually the notion of how many go to the CIO of the institution.
Yeah.
And there were some, but it was a very, very small percentage.
It was small.
And
yeah.
In my interpretation and of this point is that it says something about online learning. And sometimes there might be a tendency to think about this as online learning is sort of a technology thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest otherwise.
Yeah.
I would argue that online learning is an academic initiative.
Yep.
And that is not to say that there is not tremendous importance on counting on and depending upon, you know, our great IT organizations and our universities to provide that solid, robust platform. But the idea about alignment as an academic activity, not as an IT thing, is meaningful and an important finding in the study.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so that was the colleges and universities. Did you find anything different at the community college level?
This is an example of where there is, you know, after doing the second study mm-hmm. of the community college leaders, I was interested in where, you know, both going through all of the same sorts of questions and developing an understanding for all of those, it was also then to do some comparison about, you know, where do the university leaders and community college leaders, what do they have in common? And then in what areas do they differ? And so this is an example of what they have in common. The community college leaders also, vast majority of them, report up to the chief academic officer of their mm-hmm. institution. And again, I would interpret it in the same way, that it's really reinforcing the idea about the importance of thinking about this as an academic initiative.
Yeah. So how do you plan to disseminate the list? Fredrickson's list.
It's a good question that I have spent more time actually doing the studies than I have thinking about how to distribute this.
Yeah.
But I would say that all of this is an IRB-approved study mm-hmm. through the University of Rochester, my home institution, and so I have some constraints.
Right.
So what I've tried to do to be respectful and compliant with that approval, but still sort of build on the work, because it was a lot of work to get there,
yeah.
Is to be able to take it upon myself to, in certain cases, reach out to that audience to let them know about certain. So the idea of here at OLC, we have this leadership network that we've been building, this opportunity
right.
for these peers,
right.
many of them new in the at their institutions, to realize that there's friends. There's friends across the country that
right.
they can connect to, and that's really a lot of value, and that's why we're trying to sort of encourage this leadership network. So it's reaching out to them for that
yeah,
as an example.
And I can see that, of course, you kind of sometimes always go to the most cynical interpretation that there, as much as we love and rely upon our commercial partners, that a list like that would be of a lot of value to certain vendors. Who do I reach out to who has
yeah.
buying authority or decision-making authority?
I would admit to being a little bit sensitive about
yeah.
you know, being really thoughtful about the list, the people on it, the
yeah.
the personal information, you know, not personal information, but contact information. And so I want to be really thoughtful of and respectful of those individuals.
Sure. But I mean, I presume everything you found was open on the public web. So somebody else.
Some of the, I mean, so
it.
If someone wants to go through and did and do what I did, God
Good
bless
luck.
Them.
Yeah. So what's next? Do you have you know, kind of a part two for this research agenda?
The part two is what I have just very recently conducted, is the study of the community colleges.
Right.
And again, and then, as I said a moment ago, the idea of like finding out where people, what people have in common, mm-hmm. and what people, where people differ. I'd like to maybe even come back to maybe a couple other findings that might be of interest to your audience.
Yeah, well, there is one that I was going to ask you about, and
okay.
if there are others that you think are really relevant. One was that I found interesting was the amount of time somebody had served in the position.
Yeah.
And if that says anything about kind of the newness of, or not newness of, this particular enterprise and people in these leadership positions, online learning is not going away. And in, as we've said, particularly having people report to provosts, it's becoming more strategic. It's a career path potentially for people. How long have they been in these positions, and does that say anything to us?
I think it might. I think there are sort of other variables that potentially contribute to this too. So one relates to how long the institution has had the position in place.
Uh-huh.
So for our universities, more than half, those are sort of relatively newer positions. And my definition there might be in the last 5 years or so. And so that one is really, I think that was a really interesting one to uncover.
Yeah.
In the first study. We might have differing opinions about, so why was that the case, but I'll at least share a personal sort of view of that, which is, if I went back 5 or 6 years, what was happening in our field at that point, I think it was sort of the introduction of the MOOCs.
Uh-huh.
And so I think, I'm not saying that that's the only reason, but I think it potentially could have influenced.
Oh, yeah.
Because the MOOCs drove a lot of attention with the media. So there were stories about MOOCs in the New York Times and the Chronicle.
Sure.
And lots of media outlets. And I think our presidents and our trustees and our provosts,
it got their attention.
It got their attention if they yeah. if they didn't already have it. So
right.
I think that might have contributed. The thing that, so this is an example in our community college leaders. I didn't find that. Actually, I found that the majority have been in place much longer.
Interesting.
And so that was an interesting difference between the two.
Yeah.
So that's one. The other that I sort of examined in both related to a variety of skills and experiences of these individuals. And this is sort of a biased, potentially personal view. As I think about, you know, what types of experiences have I found really helpful to me in doing these kinds of roles? And I've done these roles at three major universities in the country. The idea of, you know, asking, you know, if people have face-to-face teaching experience,
mm-hmm.
if people have online teaching experience, if they have experience with instructional design, do they have experience with educational research, do they have leadership and management experience, do they have IT experience? I even went as far as asking if they had the experience of being an online student. And so as I take a look at those, I have sort of been able to build a sort of a composite of these individuals. And I would, if you asked me, How would you sort of give, you know, sort of a...
Who's the prototype?
Yeah, or not the... I wouldn't say, maybe not say it like that, but I would say, how would you describe it? And I think the way I would describe it is, what these people represent are very seasoned leaders.
Hmm.
So people with a lot of higher ed experience in most of those things. So I think it's it suggests that it's really valuable to have this blend of experience. So if people are looking to do something in this field, it might suggest, you know, hey, I need to build up some experience in these other ways. If presidents or provosts are thinking that they need to put someone in place, this might help them understand the types of experiences that I would consider valuable. But again, people being effective in these positions can't just come from sort of one domain, because of the work where you cross so many parts of the institution, and
yeah.
it's really valuable to have some of this background.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And I think that Kelvin and I can attest to that. On work, what we're called to do every day, it sort of draws on a lot of different areas. Anything that we haven't covered about your research that you think would be important for folks listening to hear?
I think maybe the last thing to add that I asked in both of these, which related to interest in connecting to their peers, other people, and so 90%+ of the respondents to both of these studies expressed that they felt it would be really beneficial to be part of a network, be part of a community of these leaders, and I would tend to agree with it. I think it resonated with me because I have found it so valuable to be able to connect with, you know, colleagues and very dear friends across the country for the last 20 years that can, where you can just imagine them sitting at their home institution saying, I'm facing this issue. I'm the person on point for our institution, but you know what? I really need to call, one of my best friends, Peter Shea at the University of Albany and say, I'm facing this issue. Are you facing this issue? How are you responding to this? And again, I singled one person out, but there's so many across the country that it's so helpful. And so I think maybe that's the last point maybe to raise about there's value in this network, in my opinion. And so that sort of came out of my study.
I think that's really important because I think we're fortunate at UCF where we've got a pretty big team. But I know at other places it can be kind of isolating where you're the person, the man or the woman responsible for this. To have a network of people that you can draw upon who are experiencing the same thing. And then, we'll kind of circle back to where we started. I think it's the value of convenings like the OLC Accelerate or Innovate conferences and the leadership stuff that you've been doing within those conferences that's so important to bring that network together. So I applaud you for your work and your research.
Thank you. That's very kind, Tom.
Thank you for sharing it with us and for being on TopCast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
So that was your interview with Eric Fredrickson, Tom.
It was. Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to Eric. He's, like I said, a smart guy and is doing really, really interesting research.
Groundbreaking, one might say.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a few things, not to kind of reiterate the whole the whole interview, but the fact that he is now the keeper of the list.
Right.
I think that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that, I definitely respect his sensitivity to the publicizing that, but I could see at some point that going to some sort of a database that you could reach out to colleagues who are dealing with similar kinds of issues and, oh, hey, you're doing whatever, competency-based. I'd like to talk to you, and you could find them maybe through some sort of a query tool.
That
maybe
cool.
People could opt in and be listed voluntarily. There's probably a way to thread that.
It is fascinating, though, right, that, I mean, there's probably lots of examples, but we kind of know what a president is, and in our university context, we know what a provost is. Right, and then various vice presidents and know, directors and whatever, and then it's just the organization that's different. But just the sheer variety of titles and where in the organization and mining for these people that's a daunting task. I mean,
it
kudos
is.
To him.
Yeah, and listening to that again, I have a couple of friends at other institutions who've been in the job market. I'll think of two people in particular, and they both landed recently. Very different titles.
Yeah.
Very similar roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've seen, just having gone through this with them and serving as a reference for them, seeing the titles of the positions that they're applying for. I've seen executive director. You've seen dean. You've seen assistant or associate vice president of something or other.
Vice provost or associate or whatever.
Right. Vice provost, associate provost.
Right.
Chief online learning officer
as a thing,
as a title.
Yeah.
You name it, they're out there. And so Eric had to sort through all of that and say, that woman or man, that's the person that I'm looking for.
Right.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe I'll make one personal reflection before we kind of wrap up.
Yeah.
Which is that the reporting structure piece of the conversation that we had struck me.
Because I'm sure it did.
Until recently, I reported to a CIO.
Yep.
And that meant that online learning reported to the CIO. And that's the way it's always been at UCF for 20 plus years.
That's right.
And it has served us well. We've had phenomenal leadership
here. And as good a CIO as Dr. Joel Hartman is, he's maybe not your typical CIO either.
No, that's true. Joel, I think, is somewhat unique in his ability to be far beyond what the maybe stereotypical CIO might be. And like I said, that served us so well over the years and we've grown. But last year, our provost made a change and created this new division of digital learning, which includes online learning, includes classroom-based multimedia technology, and some other things that are part of the division. And so now I report to the provost. And that's a switch for me.
Yep.
that seems to be consistent with the overwhelming
right
structure that Eric uncovered in his survey.
Wasn't lost on me either, listening to him talk about that and reading through his study, that now we're like all the cool people are.
Yeah, not that I was complaining before. You know, it was good for us. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just interesting that I think it says more about the state of online learning across all of higher ed than so much UCF, mm-hmm. Because it's a trend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a trend that points to the strategic importance of the work that we do to the university's mission, that that provosts are creating these kinds of organizations and feel that the work is so important that the person in charge of it reports to the provost.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's exactly right. Well, let me take a shot at landing us here,
yes,
if you will, and see...
landing gears down.
That's right.
See in our final.
See if you agree with this. So, and before I do, maybe I should just say this. Do you know, Tom, that this episode wraps up our third season?
I did not know.
How about that?
I ought to know that.
That's right. All right.
Yay for us.
I'm just glad you show up and drink the coffee.
Three years of this nonsense,
it's,
huh?
It's true.
Wow. That's a lot of caffeine.
It's true.
I'm
right.
A little energized.
Woo!
From all that caffeine right now.
That's
that
right.
Is pretty cool.
So I thought I might say that if you, dear listener, have just started listening within the last year, well, first, you know, thanks. Appreciate that. But you might want to go back through the TopCast catalog, extensive though it may be, and give a listen to some of our still relevant earlier episodes. We try to do these as evergreen as possible and not make a whole lot of reference to dated stuff. We have our exceptions. But
except the weather.
That is true. That's transitory. But the complete inventory of episodes all the way back to episode 1, which you can't find on Apple Podcast. It's drifted away, but it's still on the website.
Really?
Yeah. Topcast.online.ucf.edu. So that's just a little plug. So go check it all out.
With 3 years worth, it's definitely got enough critical mass to be binge-worthy now.
Yeah. And you could just drink as much coffee as you want to
with
us. Wouldn't that be kind
of
cool?
Hours of
that's
podcast.
Right. That's
wow.
Right. But anyway, here's the, I digress. Here's the my shot at the wrapping it up, Tom. See if you agree. So online education, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's maybe itself a field in search of a name. But online education is a maturing enterprise being in existence, as you said, well over 20 years now. And it's time for online education leadership to emerge as a distinct field as well. And research helps.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the kind of research that Eric has done, I think that all of us are grateful for. So I want to give him a personal thank you for being on the show, mm-hmm. and taking time out of a very busy conference as president of the OLC board to sit down with us. It was great.
And this probably goes without saying, but so it doesn't. Go check out the show notes where you will find a direct link to the first of the two published studies that Eric references. First one is published, second one I don't believe has been released yet. So until next time, for TopCast, I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Tom.
See ya.